The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Today's episode is supported by Get Bullish. Our friends at Get Bullish are the often cranky minds behind slogans like, "We will dance in the graves of the patriarchy and drink the bitter tears of mediocre men," and "Out of patience with deeply disappointing men in unmerited positions of authority." Is this something you'd want on a travel mug or a keychain? Or would you just like to shop like 200 pairs of socks with curse words on them? Pens, patches, pins, stickers, journals, ironic party napkins, sarcastic potholders, you know, that sort of thing. If that sounds fun, visit shop.getbullish.com for your patriarchy mocking and holiday shopping. That's shop.getbullish.com. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's episode.
Friends, how are you doing today? I hope that you're having a great day, great evening, great 24 hours. Hopefully you're remembering to drink some water and take care of yourselves. Today's host is Emma Ito, pronounced she, her, hers. And I am stoked to dive into part two of Emma's favorite read so far in 2021. I started this segment last time with part one, and you know, I think at first I thought I could squeeze all of these book recommendations into one episode, but I could not do that, so I am so sorry. But I am here for part two. So I have read 116 books so far this year, and this number will probably slowly keep going up as I keep recording these episodes. But I want to talk about some of my favorite books so far that I have read this year, and I've been doing it by genre. So last episode, I talked about some of my favorite fantasy and fiction reads, which do include some backlist titles, and those were The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang, Nothing But Blackened Teeth by Cassandra Kaw, Ray Bearer by Jordan Ifueko, This Poison Heart by Kaylin Bayron, Days of Distraction by Alexandra Chang, The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr., and On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. So if you're interested in hearing me talk about those, check out the last episode that I recorded. But this episode is going to dive into some of my favorite poetry, memoirs, and essays, and history reads of 2021. And there are some backlist titles in here. So hopefully I can keep this to one segment. And then next segment, I will be talking about a smattering of shout-outs that I just probably won't be able to fit into this episode. So these are spoiler-free reviews and comments, so keep that in mind. And, you know, there might be some that catch your eye or your ear. And please let me know if you end up picking up any of these. So going right into it today with my favorite 2021 poetry reads this year. And I've got three of them for you, and they all were exactly what I needed when I needed them. My number one pick right here is actually going to be I Hope We Choose Love, A Trans Girl's Notes from the End of the World by Kai Cheng Tong. And this book came out in October 2019. It is a trans Chinese-Canadian author, and what she does is just everything that I needed to read. This poetry is incredibly powerful. And actually, you know what? I'm going to let it speak for itself. I'm going to read you guys a quote. And it's exactly what I needed when I needed it. So, quote, "I lost hope. in social justice, in revolution, in the world. When we lose faith in the things that matter, it is easy to turn to anger. Anger helps us survive when survival seems impossible. I've been very angry throughout my life, and I still am in some ways. I need to be, to live. Yet anger and its siblings, rage and vengeance, have also been poisonous influences in my communities. I've seen people do awful things to one another in the name of anger and revenge, and it never seems to help anyone in the end. So in the midst of despair, I have come to believe that love, the feeling of love, the politics of love, the ethics and ideology and the embodiment of love is the only good option in this time of the apocalypse. What else do we have? I mean the kind of love that is kind, but also honest. Love that is courageous and relentless and willing to break the rules and smash the system. Love that cares about people more than ideas, that prizes each and every one of us as essential and indispensable. I mean love that is compassionate and accountable. I mean love that confirms and reaffirms us as complex and fallible, yet lovable anyway. Love that affirms us as human. I want to live in love and believe in love. If I have to die, I want to die in love. This whole world might be coming to its end, or it might be in the midst of an enormous and terrifying change that leads to something better. Either way, I want to go through it with love and with the people I love. So this book is about love. This book is about revolutionary love. Love that might not save us at the end of the world, but that might make it possible to live through. It may be hard to believe in. It will be harder to live. I hope we choose it anyway. End quote. So it's just a little piece. It's given me goosebumps. It's given me everything I needed, like I said, when I needed it. I needed to believe in love. And I love that Tom says, you know, love that is accountable and love that smashes the system. I think that's like just amazing. It's so moving. So that was definitely one of my top poetry picks for the year. So please check that one out. And honestly, like, if you can get yourself a hard copy of that one, I think it's worth it. I think it's definitely, I tabbed my copy a lot and have been revisiting it when I need reminders, especially of the passage I just read you. I've had to return to that many times this year. You know, definitely encourage you to check that out. One of my other top recs for poetry is another one that I actually think is worth the buy because there's these gorgeous illustrations in it. It is Earthkeeper by N. Scott Momaday, and he is an Indigenous Kiowa author, and this came out in November of 2020, and it's just a really beautiful, short book of poetry. There's a lot of really thought-provoking passages in this one, and it's very, like, lyrical, and Momaday reflects on the earth a lot through shared stories, memories, thoughts, and drawings. And this was another one that I revisited quite a bit, and it's actually an incredible parallel read to Dina Gilio Whitaker's As Long as Grass Grows in Thinking of Environmental Justice. And, you know, the book flat mentions so perfectly, quote, he shows us that the earth is a sacred place of wonder and beauty, the source of strength and healing that must be honored and protected before it's too late. So that was definitely one of my other top poetry picks that I read in 2021. And my last top poetry pick that I've read in 2021 so far is Leanne Betesmosok Simpson's This Accident of Being Lost. And this is an older piece of work. It came out in 2017. Simpson is a Anishinaabe author. She's a queer author. And she has just created this incredibly powerful work. And I read a couple of Simpson's other works this year as well, and they've all really, really stuck with me. But this one in particular, I tab a lot. This was the one that I had tabbed quite a bit. And This Accident of Being Lost is a collection of stories and songs from Simpson. And I said I tabbed this one, but I started reading this and I don't really like to highlight in my books if they're not history books. I will always highlight in my history books because I'm like there, I write in them. But I don't really like to highlight poetry, but I actually ended up highlighting this book because there were just a few lines that were just really, really powerful. And, you know, the more that I read this, the more that I found these pieces that I felt like warranted highlighting, but maybe some of you all are listening who are like, no, don't deface your book. But Simpson's writing just, she really has this like incredible distinctiveness to her writing and weaves storytelling and poetry and song and science fiction into these very like dreamlike and intense scenes. There's actually a passage that really stuck out to me as an Asian American woman, and it was a passage called Tidy Bun. And there's this passing line that captures microaggressions and like racial abuses towards an Asian man, and his biting response, just like, I laughed out loud when I read it because I was just like, wow, this is like so on point. And like that passage was just like one example that was reflective, I felt, of the incredible skill and talent that Simpsons has in like bringing out sarcasm and humor from like these very raw and frustrating and real experiences. And on top of that, this accident being lost, I mentioned sci-fi, which is like such an interesting combo, I feel like. And like she sometimes flips these like dystopic scenes that are feel really like so real that you forget that you aren't reading like a nonfiction, which I thought was so, so cool. I mean, like, hopefully I'm doing this book justice. I feel like it's hard to explain, but it's like really, really clever and sometimes like very challenging. So I definitely encourage y'all to check that one out. So those are my top three so far poetry picks. And I'm actually going to jump in. I'm going to jump into memoir and essays. And it's funny because I thought, because fantasy is my favorite genre, I thought that I would have way more top reads in the fantasy category. But I actually have the most in memoirs and essays. I think like I've been approaching memoirs and essays in a new way this past year. And I've really been intentional about trying to read them more. And not just read them, but I've been listening to a lot of memoirs and audio. And a lot of memoirs and audio are read by the author. So I felt like that's just like a very, very powerful audiobook. So I'm going to mention a few, and I'll mention which ones are read by the author. But one that I listened to back in April that has really stuck with me, and you've probably heard or seen stuff about this one because it was pretty hyped up, but you know, I think it stays up to the hype, is In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. And that came out in November of 2019. Carmen Maria Machado is a Cuban-American queer author. And In the Dream House is a memoir about a relationship that goes bad. And it really goes deeply into these pieces of psychological abuse and this relationship with a very charismatic, like volatile woman, and Machado reflecting on like who she is in that relationship and how it's shaping who she wants to be and who she is. And it's really interesting because each chapter has like its own like trope, essentially. So like one is like the haunted house, one is erotica, and Machado like holds up all these different things that happened to her within that framework and tries to examine them. And so she like talks a lot about her like youth and like how that was shaped by religion, and talks a lot about like lesbian relationships and how those are seen by others, how those are seen by her, how she explores those relationships. And I think most important is how she talks a lot about the reality of abuse in queer relationships. And it's a really, really powerful narrative. And this one is read by the author. So if you listen to the audiobook, you can hear Carmen Maria Machado. Another one is, this is actually also a memoir that is read by the author. And that is Memorial Drive, A Daughter's Memoir by Natasha Trethewey. And again, here's a second book that did not come out this year. This came out in July 2020. And maybe you've seen pieces on this, or maybe like you've heard stuff about this, but you know, Trethewey is an incredible, incredible Black American author. And I think this book won tons of awards. I mean, I think it got like NPR Best Book and like, you know, New York Times Notable Book and, you know, all those pieces. But it is read by her. So if you listen to this on audio, it's just like, gives me chills. I just finished it recently. And it's all about Trethewey, like, reckoning with the murder of her mother at the hands of her former stepfather. And it really comes through in this that Trethewey is a poet. Like, the way that it's written is just so beautiful and so, so, like, chilling, too, because of this story. And you really see, like, so much of her trauma in the light, and the way that she shapes this and writes about it is just very, very powerful. I feel very humbled to even listen to Trethewey herself read this. And it talks a lot about, like, the pain and loss and grief that she had in trying to understand her mother's life. And, you know, I mentioned in my last segment, one of my favorite fiction wrecks of 2021 was On Earth Were Briefly Gorgeous. And I actually think that one pairs, like, kind of nicely with this one, because, like, it's just the analysis of relationships with your mother, which is really hard, I think, to talk about sometimes, and really raw. And Trethewey does this very deeply. And especially, like, pointing out with Trethewey, like, her mother's history in this deeply segregated South. So there's a lot of really important pieces to that that Trethewey really is sure to point out in. And the crime itself took place in Atlanta in 1985. So we're talking a lot of generational trauma here. We're talking about some different time periods. And it's just really, really powerful. So good. Like, beautiful, beautifully written. So I definitely encourage you maybe to listen to that one, because, like I said, it's actually her reading that memoir. And then another memoir that's like maybe a little lighter sometimes, but is also like kind of heavy. I mean, I think, you know, I feel like all of these memoirs that are recommending, like, I'm so sorry, because they're all ones that I'm like, oh, do you want to cry? Like, so I guess I like to cry sometimes with my memoirs. And if anyone else is out there, like, with me, then, you know, I ask you, hey, do you want to cry? And so the next memoir that was in my top 2021 reads is a 2021 publication. And that is Goodbye Again by Johnny Sun. And he is a queer Asian Canadian author. And he is the author of Everyone's Alien When You're an Alien Too, but it's like with a B. And, you know, there is a lot of humor in this, which is really, really nice. But it's like beautifully mixed in with some really, really serious pieces. And there is definitely a piece in here on scrambled eggs and relationships with mothers that will probably make you cry. I mean, maybe cry. So if you're sensing a theme here with, like, do you want to cry about a mother? Then, like, I've made a lot of suggestions there. But this one, Johnny Sun, you know, this collection of essays is, like I said, it's kind of a unique collection because it's personal stories and poems. And there's these really great trademark illustrations. So I listened to this one on audiobook, and it is Johnny Sun narrating. But a Bookstagram friend of mine, Sharon, thank you, shout out to Sharon at Book Dragon, I'll link her in the show notes, sent me a copy of this, which was awesome because I had been listening to it and loving it and knowing I wanted a copy. And then that copy came in the mail, which was really cool because there's a lot of really awesome illustrations in this. And so, like, all of these pieces that he talks about, he also, like, intertwines with topics like mental health and, like, happiness and what it means to belong. And it's just like really, really honest writing. And, you know, talks about productivity, which I think is so important to like think about in our society today, as we live in a capitalist society that values our work and our productivity more than it values the importance of our mental health. And Johnny Sun really like nails onto this, like, of the importance of mental health. And so like he talks about his difficulties with anxiety and depression, and, you know, talks about loneliness. And I just think it's just like a really, really powerful memoir. My next memoir recommendation that I read in 2021 is Know My Name by Chanel Miller. And I'm sure many of you have already read this one, so I apologize that I'm so late to reading this. And hopefully you know about this book, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you just really briefly what it's about. But Chanel Miller is a Chinese-American author, and this is another book that's like, hey, do you want to cry? Because I definitely, like, I remember, like, I was reading this book and just bawling on the couch, and my partner came in and was just like, what is going on? Are you okay? Like, I have not seen you like this in a long time. Like, what is happening? And I was like, I can't, like, oh my god, this book. And like, for real, this book is really important. It's an important book to read. It's really powerful, and Chanel Miller, her writing skills are just like incredible in retelling her own story. Of you who don't know this story, or maybe need a refresher, Chanel Miller was known as Emily Doe when she came out and accused Brock Turner of sexually assaulting her on the campus of Stanford. And there's a lot of pieces in this that are really hard to read. And that being said, it's a really important story. Chanel Miller's victim impact statement was posted on BuzzFeed, which I actually remember when this happened because it was in 2015, and it instantly went viral. And 11 million people saw it within 4 days, and it did inspire changes in a California law and the recall of a judge in a case. But, you know, the story itself is really hard because you see all the difficulties that Miller went through in trying to tell her story honestly, and like what she was up against with the court systems and what a mess they were, and not just a mess, but like purposely, obviously, intentionally in favor of Brock Turner, that has a lot of wealth and money and power. And so you see in her story, she tells it, is that, you know, there's a lot of ways the court system was there to protect perpetrators, and a criminal justice system that just is designed to fail the people that need it. And it's pretty heart-wrenching. And like I said, I think it's really important at the same time that Chanel Miller is, you know, reclaiming her identity and telling her own story of trauma and transcendence and the power of words. And, you know, I think that there's been a lot that has transformed the way we think about sexual assault since that case. And also, like, it makes me think a lot too of like people who tell their stories as a piece of healing. And I truly hope that Miller was able to find some semblance of healing in telling this, because it's incredible that she shared this story with us. I mean, it's like very painful, obviously, but there's also like so much resilience in it. And I'm just like very blown away by this memoir. And I was also recommended, I have not read it yet because I'm like mentally preparing myself for it, but for those of you who have read this book or are interested in something like it, Black Box, the memoir that sparked Japan's #MeToo movement, is a book by Shiori Ito, a journalist who similarly sparked the Me Too movement in Japan. That was recently translated to English. So I actually have a copy of it sitting here from Feminist Press, and it is very high on my next to read list. And same with Know My Name. Like, you have to kind of, I feel like, gear yourself up for reading it, because it's, I had a physical, like, obviously I was crying, a physical reaction to this book. And, you know, I think anyone thinking about these things probably will too. So just be aware of that and pay attention to your body and like what it's telling you as you read it. And if you need to step away and take a break from it, like, absolutely do that. Okay. So another memoir that was definitely in my top memoirs for 2021 is Heavy, which is an American memoir by Kisei Lehmann. And this was my first Kisei book. And I'm like mad at myself that I took so long to read this, because Kisei is like literally just a gift to us. And so this book actually came out in October of 2018, so it's been out for a couple of years, and I just, like, I don't know what to even say about this that can actually do it justice. Let me read you a quote from this so you can get a sense of this, and Kisei's writing, because Kisei's writing is just, like, incredible. Quote, "After school, I kept reading and rearranging the words I'd written, trying to understand what the words meant for my understanding of violence. For the first time in my life, I realized telling the truth was way different from finding the truth, and finding the truth had everything to do with revisiting and rearranging the words. Revisiting and rearranging words didn't only require vocabulary, it required will, and maybe courage. Revised word patterns were revised thought patterns. Revisited thought patterns reshaped memory." End quote. I started this book and I actually ended up reading it in one sitting. I stayed up till 3 a.m. on a weeknight, and I should have done that because I was really tired the next day. But at the same time, I was just like extremely pulled into this book and absolutely lost in Kisei's writing. And this is written as a son's memoir to his mother. And so Kisei talks about all of the raw truths and experiences that happened in his life as a teenager and into an adult and as a student and into a professor. And there's these moments of beauty and moments of clarity and moments of confusion and care and loving and so much intense, difficult layers. And I wrote a reflection on this book, and I said that I emerged from reading this like a child blearily waking from sleep. Heavy sucks you in so deeply that when you reach the end, it feels like an unfinished dream, complicated but beautiful. And I definitely stand by that. Like, I just was so pulled into this book. And Kisei really talks a lot about, like, the white gaze and the weight of racism. He's a Black American. And his vulnerability in sharing the story with us, and like, it's not just his happiest times, it's his darkest times and his real complexities of like being a human. And this book really reminds us too, like, no one's perfect, and like, you can find some balance within reflecting on your own growth, which is exactly what Kisei does. He talks about, like, I'm a professor, so like, he talks about moments as a professor where he fails his students and he makes mistakes. And, like, I felt that so deeply because, like, yeah, I'm not perfect either. And, like, none of us are. And the most important part is that you learn from it and that you have to reflect on it. You can't just, like, let it go and be like, well, that was that. And I just really appreciated, like, Kisei sharing that. And so I felt like that was really important. Some of my top essay books that I read in 2021 that I absolutely recommend. I know I tell you guys to read a lot of books, but, like, please read this book. It's so important. It is We Two, Essays on Sex Work and Survival. I also read this one around the time that I read Know My Name by Chanel Miller. So I thought that, like, connected kind of nicely. And this book came out in February 2021, and it is edited by Natalie West, but there are a lot of different authors in here and a lot of different authors of color, queer authors. It's queer inclusive. It's a very powerful collection. And this is another that I'm just, you know, I say that sometimes about a lot of memoirs, but like, I am humbled to read this. Like, I am a person that's like, wow, I cannot believe that someone decided to share this with me, with the world. Like, and like, as an extension with me. And it's just, this is a collection that I felt that way, is that I felt very humbled to read this, and that, like, I was very glad that I was able to read a book on and for and by sex workers. I don't think there's, like, enough books by sex workers, like, for sex workers, and I wish that there were more. And so, like, as the introduction states pretty emphatically, like, this is not a book, a collection that sex workers are asking for rescue at all. This is a work that, it, quote, allowing our non-sex working readers to sit with us, but the collection itself is for us, end quote. So these stories, they allowed me to not just sit with them, but also to, like, learn from sex workers who are really radical and sex workers who are fighting for and speaking for a safer future where sex work's decriminalized and destigmatized, a future where victims are not re-victimized, which I think is really key. And in this book also, like, sex workers really openly and honestly share a piece of themselves and their experiences. And so I like that. I know I tell you guys, like, oh, read this, but, like, really, like, read this one. So yay, we have made it now through Emma's top 2021 so far, memoirs and essays and poetry. So hopefully y'all have gotten some good recommendations. And I'm going to bring us, like, towards the end of this with some history recommendations from your friendly public historian. So I read a lot of history books, and I call them my homework books. I think I've said this in past segments, but, like, there are books that I'm like, I have to read this. Like, I need to know what's going on. I need to be aware of what's going on. I need to especially, like, be aware of, like, works done in my field of study, which I study American history. I actually study a lot of Southern history. I study intersectionality with Asian American history. So, like, there's a lot of different pieces to that. So there were some really great history books I've read so far this year. I'll start with Empire of Pain, because I'm actually not going to go into Empire of Pain. I've done a whole segment on it, and I don't know if that counts as history. I mean, it's, like, more journalism than it is history, but I would say it counts as history. So that is one book. But another one that's similarly on that vein is The Dead Are Rising by Les Payne and Tamara Payne. And that came out in 2020 and won the National Book Award for Nonfiction. So you might have heard of it, you might have seen it. But it is an incredibly done biography of Malcolm X. And the author did hundreds and hundreds of hours of interviews. Incredible. Les Payne is a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. And so, you know, if you're already listening to some investigative journalism with Empire of Pain, then, like, Dead Are Rising could be a great follow-up. And I did listen to this on audiobook. It was a great audiobook. I am actually going to buy a copy because I want to go back and look at the sources and read through and highlight. But this goes very deeply into Malcolm X's life, and it like kind of goes from his birth in Nebraska in 1925 all the way to his assassination in 1965. It is a huge book. I mean, it is 640 pages, so it is very detailed, and there's, like, these incredible vignettes of Malcolm's youth and, you know, about his father and his mother and his kind of exploits as a, like, someone who is doing small crimes in Boston and Harlem. But, like I said, I listened to this one and, you know, I feel like I got through it pretty quickly because I just never ended up putting it down. I was, like, listening to it when I was doing literally anything that didn't require me talking to someone. So that's a really, really powerful, powerful book. So I definitely encourage you all to check that one out if you haven't yet. And if you're a little intimidated by how long it is, then maybe check it out as an audiobook as well. And then my final rec for today in this segment is another history rec that I read this year. And I was so glad I read this book this year. This is another backlist title. This is Chains of Babylon, The Rise of Asian America by Daryl Joji Maeda. And it came out in October 2009. And this was like, I read a lot of Asian American history books because that's my field of study. And this was one of the best that I've read. I actually think it's a very approachable book. It's not too long. I think it's like 250 pages. And Darryl like really goes into a piece that I think often gets glossed over, is the history of Asian American activism in the 60s and 70s, which, you know, I actually don't know a lot about. So I really appreciated reading this book because I feel like we don't like learn about that in school that much. Like, I mean, that's like more recent history, but there's like a lot going on with Asian Americans in that time period. So he deeply goes into, you know, how the category of Asian Americans was created. And it was like a really hot, like, what is it? Like hot take, like basically the idea was to join Asians of a lot of different ethnicities in racial solidarity. And it drew on the Black Power movement, on anti-war movements. And it was an incredibly radical term, which like the term Asian Americans, like when you said that, you were saying a term that was anti-imperialist. You were saying a word that was like anti-racist. You were like rejecting capitalism. I mean, it was like super radical, which we don't think of that term Asian American being radical today, but that's what its roots are in. So he like goes deeply into that and how people of Asian ethnicities in the United States shared this common relationship to oppression and exploitation with each other and other non-white people, and how those relationships and partnerships and coalition building really happened in the 60s and 70s, like especially with Black Americans and Latinx Americans and Indigenous peoples. And so like this whole movement that comes out in the 60s and 70s, especially with the war in Vietnam. So like there's this very deep anti-war movement, and that was predicated on understanding it as like a very racial, specifically anti-Asian genocide. So, you know, it's really good piece of work. Like I really liked it. And I think if you want to learn a little bit more about, you know, that movement in the 60s and 70s and those roots of that term, I think it's a really good one to read. And like I said, it's not too long either. So like, I don't think it would take too long to read. So thank you guys for joining me on my journey of the top reads I've had so far. So today I talked to you guys a little bit about my favorite poetry, memoirs, essays, and history reads. And just to throw those books at you again, if you are interested in any of them, those books are I Hope We Choose Love, A Trans Girl's Notes from the End of the World, Kai Cheng Tom, Earthkeeper by N. Scott Momaday, This Accident of Being Lost, Leanne Simpson, In the Dream House, Carmen Maria Machado, Memorial Drive, A Daughter's Memoir, Natasha Trethewey, Goodbye Again, Johnny Sun, Know My Name, Chanel Miller, Heavy, An American Memoir, Kisei Lehman, We Too, Essays on Sex Work and Survival, edited by Natalie West, Whiter, Asian American Women on Skin Color and Colorism by Nikki Kana, The Dead Are Arising, Les Payne and Tamara Payne, Black on Both Sides, A Racial History of Trans Identity, Riley Snorton, Chains of Babylon, The Rise of Asia America, Maida, and Empire of Pain, The Secret History of the Sackler Dynasty, Patrick Radden Keefe. So I'm really interested, if you have read some of these, just send me a message on Instagram at Booked with Emma. Let me know what you thought, or let me know if you're interested in picking any of these up. And I'd love to hear what you guys think about these. So those are top books I've read so far. And next week, I've got just my last like shout outs. They don't really fit into like genres, but like I really want to shout them out. So I will come at you next time with my final favorite book so far of 2021, you know? Hopefully you guys can find some good ones in there. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.